Everybody, how we doing?
Good. Yesterday started our first and second down preparation, and the unique thing about the Ravens and just playing against Cam a bunch of times, I really like some of the creative things that he does, the way that he is able to mix up personnel and formations. I think that that always creates some challenges defensively from an adjustment perspective. And defensively, they've got their front group that can obviously rush the passer, whether it's with four or with three. But I think they also do a really nice job with the variation of the blitzes that they bring. And there's some changes from when Rex was there, obviously. But there's a lot of things that have carried over. And I'd say that the main thing that's carried over is the multiples that they have. And they do a nice job, too, of running the same pressure but changing the people that are involved in the pressure. So even though you may come out and identify one person as one type of player, what they'll do is switch roles, and having some veteran players up front, there's that ability to do that increases. And it always happens as you have a system, it's established, you keep going with it, you're able to run concepts that are the same concept but change who's doing what role, and that changes the look, which is something you have to ID offensively and be able to block up. So a lot of things that we're addressing from that perspective, and it's definitely going to be a challenge. So with that, we'll open up to questions.
Can you talk about expanding the Wildcat to make it look more deceptive than it does now?
It's not deceptive enough?
Well, I mean, it looks to me like, okay, here's Josh Cribbs, he gets his ball and he's going to run with it. But, when you look at the Dolphins, I know they have, like, Ricky Williams and Ryan Brown. When I watch them, it looks to me like they have more motion and it's not as...
Yeah, I think that the one thing that the Dolphins have done over time, and this is really 2 years in the making, is they started with the package initially, and it looks a lot like the evolution of most packages as you study teams, where you may start with one thing, you run it, you've got three or four things that you do, it hits pretty well. So the next week you keep those three or four things, you add a couple more, and you've got the reps on the initial part. You add those few more things, and as you go, the package expands. And that's pretty common. That happened with us, and it was actually Rob. It was after a bye week. We were playing Atlanta, and we put in this variation of the 46 against their 12 personnel, and it hit big. We got six or eight sacks. So what we did there is we expanded it the next week, took that core group of things we did, added onto it, and then pushed some of those concepts into sub. And over the course of that year, that ended up being a dominant part of what we did, including in the Super Bowl. The pick that Ty Law had against the Rams was out of that package, which didn't even exist in training camp or anything up until the bye week and prior to playing Atlanta. But then as it hit, you evolve. So I think with the Wildcat, we have a core group of plays. We expanded at a similar level, and that's one part of the package. But if every sort of segment of meeting time or practice or walkthrough that you put into that, you know, it limits some of the other stuff that you can do. So you try to do it in a measured way based on how much you're going to run it any given week or as a core part of the offense.
So did you do anything with it then? I'm not asking you what, but did you do anything with it in the bye week to make it a little?
Yeah, we've done things with it different weeks, and I anticipate that being the case as we go. And some things will hit, some things won't look as good. Really, we've been running it since the Minnesota game to some degree, so I anticipate it continuing to evolve.
You talked about the progress you can expect to see after the bye. Is there an area or two where you think guys could make the most growth?
The area I'd like to see offensively is turnovers. To me, that's the most important area, because our Our giveaway takeaway ratio is not good at all. The amount of points that are scored after a turnover or are the result of a turnover, the discrepancy, the net hasn't been very good, and it's hard to win without starting there. So protecting the football is one thing that it's not like it hasn't been an emphasis, but obviously we have to do some things differently, which we've been working on, and that to me is the starting point. I'd say after that, being able to execute some of the core things that we've done for a while better, and we've identified some of those things. Those things will continue to move forward on. Subtracted some things offensively. It was a volume of things that were addressed in each area. So really looking for progress in each area. And defensively, I felt that in the Chicago game, one of the things I really liked was the communication. And it allowed us to do a lot more things. I don't know if you guys noticed some of the added variation defensively that we had. And that's the way I envision the defense always being, is, and it will be that way. It's game plan specific, and you have the flexibility to attack where you want to attack, but you can't do that without solid communication. Playing the Ravens, where they shift in motion a little bit more, there's some added communication. It doesn't mean it's not possible to do. It just means you have to be that much more in tune. You've got to get it across the board. And some of it, too, is anticipating what could happen. So you come out and you say, you know, 2 alert 3 or whatever the alert is based on the initial formation.
How much is that a production of the quarterback problems or on the receivers?
Really, both share in that, and there's been times where both guys have been open and we haven't gotten the ball, and there's been times where both guys have been open and we haven't converted. They haven't converted. So it's, say they both share in that. I'm looking forward to, obviously, each one of our receivers producing at a higher level. Some of that's going to come with more drives, being able to hold on to the football, being able to get more plays during the course of the game. The turnovers limit the amount of plays. Our third down efficiency, in times we've been really good going into third down, that third down and manageable area, those are ones that you should convert at a high rate. You extend drives, you have more plays, you have more opportunities. I think all those things will improve.
Lewis's last game against his former team. What do you think that'll have an impact on him for this game?
I've always enjoyed playing teams that I've been with in the past. It's different in the sense that you know a lot of the guys. When you play a typical opponent, you know about him from a playing perspective. You may have met him in draft meetings. You may have met him over the course of free agency. But you don't know them the same way, and it's fun. It's fun to be able to compete against guys that at one point you were competing with. So I'm sure that'll play a role in it for him, and you have to kind of talk to him about it. Just from a retirement perspective, I'm not sure how that affects emotions, but I'm sure there are some that are tied into that. I think, I don't know if it'll be full strength. I think we'll be closer. I'm not sure what point will be truly full strength at that position. I do know that each guy has done what they can and has worked at their rehab and things like that, and are trying to contribute in the ways they can. But we got four guys now, and usually we bring two, maximum three. So there is some competition in that room, too, to see who's going to be active each week.
I'm just curious, when did Jamal tell you guys that this was going to be his last season?
I don't really remember when he talked about that initially. I can tell you his approach hasn't changed at all. His work in the meetings or work at practice hasn't changed at all. So even though that's part of this season for him, it, being a pro and an experienced guy like he is, it hasn't affected anything that I've seen over the course of time.
He would seem to be an ideal, you know, sounding board, mentor, et cetera, for the younger backs. Do you think those guys have taken advantage of that?
Yeah, I do. And he's been great about that. And you look for that as a coach. You want that as a coach. I remember with Curtis Martin, when he couldn't play, he used to be in all the meetings. And he'd take great notes. And I'd call on him at any point. Now, he wasn't going to play in any of these games. I mean, he was done. But I'd call on him, and he knew everything that was going on. And what was important to him is he wanted to show the guys how much he cared, how to do it the right way. It was just impressive. And Curtis is, I don't know if you guys know him at all, he's an impressive guy, but that commitment. And there'd be some times, too, with Curtis where he'd go into a special teams meeting. He wasn't playing. I mean, he wasn't getting close to special teams. But Jerry Rice talked about that when he came and spoke to the team, how he would go to special teams meetings at times because he wanted those guys to know how important they were to him. And sometimes the core teams players can get lost in the mix, and it's, you know, externally it's almost like an afterthought. But it's a huge part of the game, and giving us better field position or putting them in worse field position, it's important. And those veteran guys that appreciate that, I thought it was a amazing thing by Jerry and really by Curtis, and dealing with guys like Jerome or any of the veteran guys. You know why they've played so long. You know why they've been successful. It's an easy formula to identify. It's not an easy formula to mimic.
Jamal, he has a year left on his contract. Do you think he has enough left in the tank that if he wanted to come back next year and play, he could contribute? And if so, would you try to, at the end of the season, maybe sit down with him and see if you could maybe reconsider and, you know, go into 2010?
You know, that's nothing that he or I have talked about, and both of us appreciate the importance of focusing on the here and now. I've got some experience with players that were retired and unretired, but it's all that stuff is personal decisions, and so far in the future, and so many things can happen between now and then that you just wait till that point and assess it at that point.
The 96 season in Baltimore, you've talked a lot about that. Why did you leave?
I had a really good opportunity in New York, chance to go work on the defensive staff, which is something that I wanted to do. I had a chance to work in the secondary with Bill, and chance to work under Bill Parcells. Really liked the staff that they were putting together. It was a good group of guys there. Romeo, Al Groh, Bill, Charlie Weiss, Todd Haley was there. I mean, there's a good group of guys, and really great experience for me personally.
How is Abe Elam? Is he everything you thought he was, or is he taking a little more time to get there?
No, Abe is... Abe is exactly how I know Abe, and he was a guy that, you know, we picked up off waivers from Dallas, and came out the first day, wasn't intimidated by being in new surroundings, communicated really well, and I can't overemphasize that value from a safety perspective, because they run that secondary, and if there's one breakdown in the secondary, as we all know, it's points. It's the same thing for like a Mike linebacker. You know, those guys have to communicate. They have to run the front. And Abe, from day one, was like that. And he's done a really great job with that here. There's things that he can improve on. Thing with him, though, is any coaching point he absorbs and he really tries to address. And I think he'll, as he continues to grow in his role in his career, he'll be very successful.
Him off in some nickel and dime situations?
Yeah, but we've done that over the course of time with every team. There's been times where, I mean, take your pick of players. Teddy Bruschi was off. Rodney Harrison was off.
Often with safeties?
Yeah, Steve Atwater. We had him at the Jets. He came off in sub situations. Lawyer Malloy. Rodney played some different roles. And sometimes you just try to get the best combination of people for that set, and it's not a slight against the guy that isn't in that group. It's more what do you envision to be the best thing.
Did David Bakune do anything in the last 2 weeks to merit more time now that Barton's definitely out?
Yeah, you know, he got some plays against Chicago, and I thought overall for his first significant exposure, it wasn't bad. There's a lot of stuff, though, Tony, that it happens faster in a game. And, you know, being in that mic position, too, it's one of those areas where you have to be able to get everybody lined up. So those are things that he's working on. I've seen progress over time, but it's like anything else, it takes time.
Are you worried about Bowen being able to hold up? He said he played every snap in the last one.
With Debo Marla, he's another guy that you just love to coach. Tough as can be, smart, figures out a way to get things done. Sometimes it's conventional, sometimes it's not. Works with the rest of the group to try to get things as prepared as possible. And I didn't know him that well when we first got him, and he's just a fun guy to be a part of or to be around because of the way that he approaches things. It's the right way.
Ideally, in a perfect situation, would you split time with him and somebody else there inside?
You could and have with him in the past. It's funny, though. A lot of times when he was out there, good things happened, and you almost take a step back and say, I know we're splitting time here, but maybe we shouldn't. The play last year against Arizona was like 15 seconds left. They were going to throw a pass. It's the end of the half. We were up by a lot. And rushing three, he strips back the guy. We got the ball back with a second left and kicked a field goal. I mean, it's plays like that that you appreciate.
Is Bakune strictly the mic?
That's where the starting point is. What you want to do is have the mic and Will be mirrored positions. The fits are different because the mic tends to play on the tight end side, so the tight end side running game is a little different than the open side running game, but you want those two guys to be able to swap in and out.
We talked to Brady yesterday a little bit about his relationship with Brian Daboll. Did that need some mending over the last couple of weeks, and did you have anything to do with maybe getting those guys to sort out any differences that they might have?
I didn't sense any anything like that at all. And one of the things that I looked for from Brady when we did make the change is consistency. And he's been consistent. Same thing with DA. He's been consistent. I haven't seen that at all.
Have you changed your philosophy as a coach when you won in 7? I mean, in terms of who you play, I mean, the urgency to win.
I promise you there's been urgency to win every single week. And No, I mean, there's not more so now. There's been urgency, and there's urgency every year to win, and there's urgency to win that game. And, you look to change the approach in the sense of how can you improve it. You don't look to change the approach just to change the approach, because that implies that the approach you had was fundamentally flawed or you didn't believe in it. So I believe in the approach that we have. Now, part of that is being able to adjust it. So I hope I'm being clear about the distinction in terms of the way that I see it, because the approach always has to be adjusted. But you want to do it because you feel like, okay, this is a really positive way to improve things, not we're going to change it just for the sake of change.
You said the urgency has changed, but has the belief changed? I mean, the first half of the season, I mean, there were a lot of games that just, you know, watching them, you really never got the sense that, you know, the opportunity to win was really even there.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure what your belief was, but, I believe in it every week. And I believe in this group of guys, and I believe in the coaching staff, and I believe in the things that we're doing. And that belief won't change. And what's important is be able to show where things can change, because if you take the approach that they can't change, then I mean, it's you're lost at that point, and that's not the case. It's things are correctable, and the belief system has not faltered.
Same kind of realm, but the season obviously hasn't been anything close to what you wanted. Everything gets magnified on national TV. Do you sense your guys kind of making a, you know, trying to, you know, use this opportunity to kind of redeem themselves a little bit, knowing that everybody's going to be watching, and kind of, you know, salvage some self-esteem for, you know, things that have gone wrong here so far?
I don't see it that way. I really don't see it that way, because I think that implies that in all the other situations, you weren't trying to play your hardest. You weren't trying to perform to the best of your ability. And I haven't seen that from our players, our coaches, from anybody involved. So it's not, whether you're on national TV, whether the game's not being shown, whether you're on local, whatever it is, when you go out and have that opportunity, you take the same approach, which is to execute the things that you've practiced all week, and to play a certain style of football. And the situation behind it shouldn't change that approach.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. We'll bring you around the locker room now.
Right,
thank you.